Good afternoon, 4:30 and 59 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
The winner has to get 40% of the vote cast, and the charter states that the vote, the election for that runoff must take place 2 weeks after the general election.
A runoff election in Ironton tomorrow will determine the city's next mayor.
There was a traffic fatality in Boyd County today.
And the latest Kids Count survey shows more than a quarter of Kentucky's children live in poverty.
In sports, the Bengals go for their franchise record 9th consecutive victory tonight.
But Luke has the business news.
Cloudy tonight with sprinkles possible. Lows will be in the mid-40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A single vehicle accident in Boyd County this morning has taken the life of the driver. WSAZ is reporting that the accident happened shortly after 8 o'clock at the junction of Kentucky 5 and Small Boulevard in Summit. The male victim has not yet been identified. Troopers say his truck went off the road into a ditch and overturned.
Kentucky State Police say a 7-year-old girl whose body was found in a creek behind Allen County High School last Friday was murdered. Troopers say Gabriella Doolin went missing during a high school football game in Scottsville. Rob Klein is mayor of the small community.
We're a rural area, and we're not used to something like this in our area. And it has hit strong. And we're just all trying to bind together and help this family in any way we possibly can.
State police have not released any other details about the child's death, and no arrests have yet been made.
A University of Kentucky student studying in France this semester was in Paris Friday when a series of deadly attacks took place. Anna Cervera spoke about the experience with WKYT. She says she and friends had dinner in a neighborhood that was struck by ISIS terrorists hours later.
If we decided to do anything a little bit differently, you know, gotten a snack instead of getting an early dinner and stayed in the city later, or if it had been a little bit warmer, we would have been right there when it was happening.
Cervera says she watched TV coverage of the attacks from her Paris hotel later in the evening. Moorhead State University President Wayne Andrews says he was relieved Friday when he discovered that MSU does not have any students studying in Paris this semester. He says educational experiences abroad are important to diversity, inclusion, and peace.
According to the latest Kids Count report from Kentucky Youth Advocates, poverty remains pervasive among children in the Commonwealth. KYA Director Terry Brooks says there have been improvements in education and juvenile justice over the past 25 years, but 26% of Kentucky's kids still live in poverty.
When we have over a quarter of a million kids in Kentucky who live in poverty, when we have 350,000 children who live in homes where neither parent has secure employment, that means full-time, year-round employment, we know that the impact of poverty on kids and on families is pervasive.
Brooks also says poverty affects children's safety and security and how they perform in school.
There's a runoff election for mayor of Ironton tomorrow. Lawrence County Board of Elections Director Catherine Overbeck says the vote is taking place because none of the candidates in the general election 2 weeks ago received 40% of the ballots cast. She says the two top vote getters have put a lot of effort into the campaign, and that should be reflected in the turnout.
I expect a moderate turnout. They're both really heated races. And they're both out there working really hard at this point in time. So I think it'll be a moderate, maybe a little above that turnout. Because it's unusual, we haven't had a runoff with the city charter since 1981. So it's kind of a history-making one.
The election pits Katrina Keith against Bob Cleary. Keith received more than 36% of the vote on election night. Cleary had over 23%. The polls open at 6:30 in the morning Tuesday and close at 7:30 p.m.
Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is scheduled to have a fundraiser in Louisville this week. Attorney Olivia Ann Morris Fuchs is confirming that the fundraiser is scheduled for Friday. Fuchs is the founder of Team Hillary Kentucky and a grassroots organizer for Clinton in the state. Clinton is already scheduled to campaign in nearby Tennessee that same day. Clinton campaigned twice for Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Allison Lundergan Grimes in 2014. Kentucky Democrats hope Clinton can energize the party following losses for governor and three other statewide elected offices earlier this month. Her husband, Bill Clinton, won Kentucky twice in the 1990s, the last time a Democrat has carried Kentucky in a presidential election.
The majority leader in the Kentucky House of Representatives says his Democratic Party will keep control of the chamber in next year's elections. State Representative Rocky Adkins of Moorhead says the 2016 races will be a lot different than the statewide elections for constitutional officers on November 3rd, a vote that strongly favored Republicans.
As far as our House Democrats that are elected now, they're very strong in their districts. They live in those communities, they work in those communities, and they represent those communities. They're at ball games, they go to church in those communities, so they're personally known in those communities. So it makes our races a lot different than, I think, statewide races.
Adkins vows that Democrats will field top candidates for open seats, and all the party's candidates will be well-funded.
Governor-elect Matt Bevin is urging Kentuckians concerned about decisions he'll make when he becomes the state's next chief executive not rush to judgment. The Republican appeared Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman. Bevin says he understands there are people who need help and his administration will do its best to take care of them.
I take this very, very seriously, and this is why I encourage those that are worried, that are scared, that are angry, that want to see this, that, or the other thing. Be patient. Understand that I am empathetic in more ways than might have been the case had I grown up in a different way. I truly can appreciate where people are. What I want to do is ensure that we take care of people to the best degree that we can.
Bevin says he doesn't want to promise Kentuckian services now that can't be sustained in 3 to 9 years. He says that's cruel.
City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says Congressman Thomas Massey has been involved in the community's efforts to help save the jobs of hundreds of people at AK Steel's Ashland Works. However, Gunderson claims Massey doesn't have much clout in Washington, where AK and other domestic producers have complained about subsidized foreign steel being dumped on the U.S. market. He says Massey, the Republican who represents Ashland, has made enemies unnecessarily.
They have met with him, but the problem with Congressman Massey is he always votes against leadership. He votes against Congressman John Boehner to be Speaker. John Boehner represents the corporate headquarters of AK Steel in Westchester, Ohio, and he voted against Congressman Ryan, who's the current Speaker. So I think at this point he is an insignificant figure.
AK is planning to idle its Ashland blast furnace in mid-December. That's a move city leaders believe could cost the community 1,000 jobs.
Ashland City Commissioner Larry Brown calls it poor. He's talking about City Manager Benjamin Bitter's plan to stop the roofs of two old city-owned buildings from leaking. Bitter says a large tarp will be placed on the Mill Street structures until a permanent solution is found. The buildings house city utility offices, and Commissioner Brown believes their condition poses a danger to employees who work in them.
We have facilities we can move those people to, and that's what we need to be doing right now. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not supporting doing any major construction right now. I'm not in favor of buying anything, sort of on a holding pattern right now.
Commissioners were considering several solutions to the problem when AK Steel announced plans to idle its Ashland blast furnace this winter. The impact that's likely to have on city revenues has made commissioners hesitant to make any big financial commitments. They had been mulling over proposals to construct a new building, purchase an old one, or demolish the current Mill Street facilities and put a prefabricated structure on the lot.
Larry Hayes is leaving as Secretary of the Kentucky Economic Development Cabinet. The departure was announced by Governor Beshear, who says that he has appointed Deputy Secretary Eric Dunnigan as Acting Secretary while he considers candidates. Hayes announced earlier this year he would retire from the position, but had not given a date. He also served in the Beshear administration as Secretary of the Executive Cabinet. The governor says he was recently sent names of candidates by a search committee.
Kentucky is known around the world for its bourbon industry, but craft brewers say their business is making a name for itself, too. Adam Watson is president of the Guild of Brewers in Kentucky. He says in 2009, there were 5 microbreweries in the Commonwealth. Today, he says there are 33 and licenses are pending for 3 others.
The number of craft breweries in Kentucky has seen a 600% growth rate in the last 5 years. Nationally, craft beer makes up about 12 to 13% of the beer volume sold and over 20% of the sales dollars sold. The Brewery Association expects the market can handle approximately double those percentages before current explosive growth trends level off.
Watson says Kentucky brewers have created nearly 500 jobs and have invested $23 million in infrastructure.
A group of Kentucky retailers are calling on the state's congressional delegation to close what they call a tax loophole that exempts out-of-state businesses from collecting sales tax. But, as Josh James reports, the proposal is hardly a new one.
In 1992, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that businesses lacking a physical presence in a state aren't required to charge sales tax, but that was long before a little thing called the Internet took off. Fast forward to today, and bricks-and-mortar sellers have been arguing for years the rule is outdated, forcing them to choose between markdowns and lost sales. Kevin Cranley, president of Willis Music, says now customers often sample products in-store and make their purchases online to avoid Kentucky's 6% sales tax, a habit so common it now has a name, showrooming.
We're pretty passionate about music at Willis, and we just want the opportunity to help them. We don't blame them. They're looking for the best price, and if the sales tax is the issue, that's what they're going to do. But we just want the level playing field.
The retailers are pressing for Kentucky's representatives in Washington to support the Remote Transaction Parity Act and the Marketplace Fairness Act, both measures that would tax sales tax onto online purchases. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Morehead State University has received a grant from the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education to improve teacher training. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The CPE awarded Morehead State a $125,000 2-year grant. The council says the award is to engineer authentic experiences in the next generation science classroom. Council President Bob King says he's delighted that MSU and other campuses are expanding their focus on preparing teachers to be more effective in areas critical to the growth of our state's economy. Also receiving awards are the University of Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky. The CPE approved the grants at its meeting last Friday at Gateway Community and Technical College. For MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And finally this afternoon, Louisville Gas and Electric Company and Kentucky Utilities are asking regulators to allow them to own and operate charging stations for electric vehicles. Each utility wants to place 10 stations in its service territory. They would be located in public spaces, such as street parking, parking lots, and outdoor areas. The companies also want to offer business customers the opportunity to host the stations with a 5-year commitment.
And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy with sprinkles possible in the evening, lows around 45 degrees. Tomorrow, warm and cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, lows near 54 degrees. On Wednesday, rainy with a chance of showers in the morning and afternoon. Highs will be around 70 degrees. The chance of rain is at 90%. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with showers likely in the evening, lows in the upper 40s, and the chance of rain drops to 70%. It is currently 61 degrees in Ashland, 58 in Flemingsburg, 60 in Inez, 56 in Lexington, 58 in Winchester, and it is currently 59 degrees right here in Morehead.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, some big changes could be coming to Morehead's downtown. Here is MSPR's Ashley Chapman.
Several local officials have been working to put together the so-called visioning project. Landscape architect Mark Arnold of Design Works out of Lexington has been hired to draw up a plan for redesigning Morehead's downtown. Arnold recently surveyed several Main Street business owners to gain ideas for the plan, along with some members of Morehead State University's faculty and students. Some of the questions included what changes they'd like to see and what things they'd like to see stay the same.
Those improvements being opening up some of the, say, empty lots for development, providing a more of a mixed-use type development downtown where we have maybe ground-level shopping, bookstores, cafes, but upper-level lofts and apartments, so we have a little bit more vitality downtown.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent has his own ideas about what he'd like to see included in the plan.
Yeah, I would like for us to be able to really upgrade our recreational opportunities, whether it's a water park, whether it's a walking area, whether it's better ball fields. And I'm not talking about just for the youth. I'm talking about for the community as a whole. I mean, we need better upgraded recreational facilities for all of our citizens.
Main Street Manager Tony Pence, whose job involves promoting downtown Moorhead, thinks it's critical that the city adds a downtown boutique-style hotel.
I think it's the biggest game changer that we could have. Staybridge Inn just built a new motel out off campus in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I challenge you to get a room tonight there. You know, it's full all the time. Because look at the numbers of people that come to town. We're getting ready to do reinvestment statistics for the city again. And you realize there's over 3,000 people from the surrounding counties come to the city to work here every day. So when you, that's not counting, you know, all the students and all the people that already live here. Those are people that are motivating traveling here.
Pence has no doubt that the city could support such a facility.
So when you think of all the business that we have, the university, the hospital, and all other insurance agencies, and all the people that have folks that visit them and spend the night, you know, for business purposes only, that's a large number. And downtown, if we were to have a very nice boutique-style motel with a very nice restaurant, you've created a center point for people to meet and gather, not only people that are visiting your town, but the local folks have a place then to meet and gather, to eat, dine, in a, you know, upper atmosphere setting, if you will.
While the visioning plan is still in its design phase, Trent says Moorhead officials will look to get grants to help save local taxpayers on any possible construction that may need to happen. According to the questionnaires, a number of citizens and business owners want changes made along Main Street, including the restraightening of it. They'd also like to see more restaurants with outdoor seating located there, along with the addition of various kinds of specialty shops and an increased number of entertainment opportunities in that part of town.
It's a town full of opportunities for students, you know, cafes, bookstores, restaurants, things that sort of support that. Surprisingly, or not really surprisingly, I guess, is that those types of businesses downtown are the ones that are most cherished here based on our survey.
In the meantime, officials and civic leaders from Moorhead continue to look for other ideas that can be implemented and for ways to make those dreams a reality. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Ashley Chapman.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Cincy attempts to remain blemish-free. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. The Houston Texans travel to the banks of the Ohio River in Monday Night Football to meet the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals. MSPR's Michael Gustin has the story.
The Cincinnati Bengals will try and keep pace with the 9-0 New England Patriots tonight in the AFC. Meanwhile, the Texans with the victory can move into a first-place tie with the Colts in the AFC South. Cincy is looking forward to getting run stopper Ray Malaluga back into action, while the Texans need a big game from all-pro defensive end J.J. Watt. Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton will look to have a good day through the air against the Texans defense, who has given up 16 passing touchdowns. The Orange and Black will try for 9 in a row for the first time in its 47-year history. For Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Peyton Manning won't suit up against the Chicago Bears on Sunday. Broncos coach Gary Kubiak is going with backup Brock Osweiler as he tries to get his 39-year-old quarterback healthy. Kubiak said he met with Manning this morning, and told him of his decision, which Manning didn't like. Said Kubiak, "I've never met a player who agreed to that." Manning had the worst game of his career yesterday in Denver's 29-13 loss to Kansas City. He completed 5 of 20 passes for 35 yards with 4 interceptions and had a 0.0 passer rating. The Morehead State football team collected weekly awards with their road win at Valparaiso. Quarterback Austin Gayhafer was named Player of the Week by College Sports Madness. Jake Raymond was tabbed PFL Offensive Player of the Week, and Justin Greer was tabbed PFL Defensive Player of the Week. Coach Rob Tenier says their efforts have come up huge this year.
All three guys have been really big impact on our team and how we've come to have success over the last 3 years. Obviously, they've had a big part of that. You know, all three of them are team captains for us. So not only their play, but their leadership and the things they provided has really allowed us to kind of take the program to new heights.
The 6-4 Eagles play their final game of the season Saturday at Marist. The AP Top 25 College Football Poll has been released. Here's Jack Briggs.
The number one team in the nation is still Clemson. The Tigers received 34 first-place votes, with Ohio State, the second-ranked school, 23, and third-ranked Alabama, 4. Rounding out the top five are Oklahoma State and Notre Dame. A check of the second five shows Iowa, Oklahoma, Florida, Michigan State, and Baylor. In big games this week, Ohio State is home to Michigan State, while 10th-ranked Baylor is at Oklahoma State, and 11th-ranked TCU is at Oklahoma. This is Jack Briggs.
The Morehead State men's basketball team travels to Land of the Lincoln for their first road contest of the year. Tonight's opponent is Illinois State, and Coach Sean Wood says his team has to be focused for the Redbirds.
Well, we got to battle. You know, we got to really rebound the basketball, and we got to go in there with a tough mindset because they're at home. They're going to be excited. And also, you know, we got to get ready for a 2-3 zone, 2-2-1 back to 2-3. So we got to really work on our zone offense.
The Eagles are looking for their first win in Normal, Illinois. They are 0-4 lifetime there. Also, a quick recruiting note for the MSU men. Jamin Henson, a 6'3 guard from Lawrence North High School in Indiana, and Jordan Walker, a 6'1 guard from Cathedral High School in Indiana, have signed and will participate as freshmen beginning next season with MSU. This according to MSUEagles.com. The University of Kentucky men's basketball team is ready to take on the Blue Devils of Duke tomorrow night in Chicago at 7:30. The game will be the first of two games deemed part of the Champions Classic, with the second contest pitting 4th-ranked Kansas up against number 13 Michigan State. For the 2-0 Cats, this will certainly be a monstrous test thus far in the young season. Coach John Calipari is anxious to get the game started, saying both teams have very similar styles of play.
But you're going to have two driving teams. Two teams are going to drive. So the game will probably take 2.5 hours because there are going to be fouls. We're going to foul, and they're going to foul. Both teams are driving the ball. His team's driving the ball. My team's driving the ball.
You can catch the game on ESPN. The MSU women's basketball team went 1-1 this past weekend in the Mickey Wells Classic at Johnson Arena, with the Eagles posting over 100 points in the first two games. Coach Greg Todd has been very pleased with the offense.
So far, the offensive part, we're definitely feel like that's happening, and now we have to really focus in on our defensive end. We know we're going to give up more points when we're playing as fast because there's just more possessions, but we still feel like there's a lot of room to improve on that defensive end.
The Eagles are back in action Wednesday night at 17th-ranked Kentucky at 7 o'clock. Finally tonight in sports, daily fantasy sports operator DraftKings has asked a New York judge for a temporary restraining order to block the state attorney general's attempt to shut it down. In separate complaints filed in state Supreme Court in Manhattan on Friday, FanDuel and DraftKings similarly asked a judge for an injunction, arguing that Attorney General Eric Schneiderman wrongly characterized their business as illegal gambling operations. Now Boston-based DraftKings has asked Justice Manuel Mendoza
Mendez in Manhattan for a restraining order to preserve the status quo, arguing it will suffer massive and irreparable harm if forced to shutter operations in New York, where it has 375,000 of about 2.5 million total players. Schneiderman's office is expected to file court papers later today. DraftKings and FanDuel argue that they offer games of skill, not of chance, as defined New York's gambling laws. That will do it for Sports Tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host Mount St. Joseph at 6 p.m. on Monday, November 23rd, and men's basketball welcomes Marshall at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 24th. You can find tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks gained on a sharp jump in oil prices boosted by geopolitical concerns following the weekend terror attacks in Paris. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a strong gain of 237.77 at 17,483.01. The S&P 500 was up 30.15 at 2,053.19, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 56.73 at 4,984.62. Chevron and ExxonMobil were the strongest performers among your 30 Dow Industrial stocks. Obviously, they were carried by the strength in oil. New York Stock Exchange breadth was a very positive 22-8 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Energy stocks as a whole gained more than 3% to lead S&P 500 advancers, and U.S. crude oil futures were up a dollar, finishing at $41.74 a barrel. Telecommunication stocks gained 2.1% as the second-best performer in the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ Composite recovered from an intraday dip as Apple gained 1.6%, and Amazon reversed an earlier 2% decline to close nearly 1% higher, and the iShares Biotechnology ETF, which tracks the biotechnology sector very closely, was about 0.4% higher. In Europe, stocks held mostly higher after the series of coordinated terrorist attacks in Paris, which left more than 100 dead and hundreds injured. Treasury bond prices were little changed, with the 10-year Treasury holding at 2.27% and the 2-year yield at 0.85%. Overnight, Asian stocks closed mostly lower, with tourism-related names among the worst performers as the Paris attacks weighed on sentiment. The Hang Seng and Nikkei both closed down more than 1%, while the Shanghai Composite ended about 0.7% higher. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 16 cents at 109.36, CSX up 37 cents at 27.30, AEP up $1.18 at 56.24, AK Steel unchanged at 2.55, Marathon Petroleum up 40 cents at 53.76, and Community Trust Bank was up 34 cents to finish at 35.39. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
Taking one final look at your weather forecast, for tonight, cloudy with sprinkles possible, lows around 45 degrees. Tomorrow, warm and cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with lows near 54 degrees. On Wednesday, it's rainy with a chance of showers in the morning and afternoon. Highs around 70 degrees. The chance of rain is at 90%. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with showers likely in the evening. Lows in the upper 40s. The chance of rain drops to 70%. On Thursday, sunny with highs around 60 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear. Lows in the lower 30s. On Friday, sunny with highs around 50. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 30s. On Saturday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 40s. And Saturday night, cold and partly cloudy with lows in the upper 20s. It is currently 59 degrees in Morehead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Michael Gustin, Ashley Chapman, and Jacob Lindberg. From WUKY, Josh James. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.